Good morning. May it please the Court. My name is David Bricklin. I represent Gregory and Janikowski. This case is about...
Rebuttal time?
4 minutes, please. This case is about the sanctity of single-family neighborhoods, Your Honors. My clients live in a beautiful suburban area. Many folks in this region do. People live in these areas because they're safe, they're well-appointed, they're aesthetically pleasing. And for 100 years, this country has had zoning laws to protect these areas. And these zoning laws to protect single-family areas are so important, frankly. I was just thinking yesterday, I was working on a historic preservation case. In the First Amendment realm, churches, which don't, which can trump historic preservation ordinances, cannot trump single-family zoning. And so you can actually, the Supreme Court in this case, in this state, in Open Door Baptist Church case, said single-family zoning is so important, they can even be used to outweigh the First Amendment rights of a church to locate wherever they want. So our laws and our policies and our customs in this state and in this country are to protect the sanctity of single-family zones. And this case is about a hideous, looming tower and antenna that was erected in the middle of the night, virtually, in the middle of a single-family zone.
And I certainly understand why the neighborhood is concerned, but we have to look at the law. We have
I
to
agree.
Follow the law. And help me understand why King County Code 21A26020G isn't case determinative here.
Because the King County Code has two separate chapters that address communication facilities. And the section you cite is the exemption from the Title from 21A26, Chapter 21A26. The code section we rely on is in a separate chapter, 21A.27, which is titled Minor Communication Facilities. And the
But doesn't exempt- 020G just basically pull that out of minor communication facility and create a really broad?
No, not
a- say it's a very broad exemption.
No. 020 in 20, Title In Chapter 26, 020G says these uses are exempt from this chapter, not from the next chapter. So it's very broad as to Chapter 26.
If you're right, then they could never do a ham radio without doing a conditional use permit.
Which makes perfect – well, no, it's the conditional use permit is only triggered when you go over a certain height.
Okay, you're right. So if it's over 60
– Exactly, which makes perfect sense. So, you know, if you go back to the premise that we're trying to protect our single-family zones – you can have a short tower in there as an outright use. But if you want something looming 60 feet or higher, you have to go through the conditional use permit process. And, in fact, that process is all about involving the community because before you can even apply for the permit, you have to confer with your neighbors. You have to demonstrate – then when you file your permit, you have to demonstrate that you really need a tower this high. You can't hang it on a utility pole or a water tower nearby. You have to demonstrate that you've picked the least imposing point on your property. In this case, they picked the worst possible point on their property. They picked the point where this tower looms over the Kofsky residence and is almost invisible from their own home, which is exactly the sort of issue that the permitting process was supposed to address. Going back to the 020G thing, one other thing I want to point out is there's also a provision which we cited that says that if there's a conflict between 26 and 27, 27 applies. Controls. So I think for...
But on your argument, there wouldn't be a conflict.
You're just right. Saying I'm saying, but...
You're just saying 27 controls by its own terms.
By its own terms. And I guess belt and suspenders. First of all, the exemption says it only applies to Chapter 26. And second, if there is some conflict between the two chapters, there's a section that says 27 controls. So there's two shortcomings in their argument. The... A lot of the briefing, as you've seen, has focused not on the merits of our claim, but on the affirmative defense, that our claim was brought untimely. And the their argument is that a building permit that was issued, called a construction permit in King County parlance, triggered the statute of limitations for a LUPA cause of action. And we've addressed that significantly in our briefing. I do want to point out...
What do you think the Supreme Court cases cited hold as the notice requirement for these?
Well,
these type of cases?
So I don't know that the it's not. I'm I guess I'm not quite sure what you mean by the, what the notice.
Well, why don't you go ahead with your argument? You don't have a lot of time left. I'll, go ahead.
So their argument, as I understand it, is that when this building permit was issued, this gave, I guess maybe this answers your question. This gave them notice that the county had decided not to require a conditional use permit. And the language that I've blown up and read here says, on this permit, it says, it's understood that the granting of this permit shall not be construed as satisfying the requirements of other local laws or regulations. It does not authorize the violation of regulations. So it's you can't make an inference from this document that the county has decided that no conditional use permit is required, because it says just the opposite. They've also made the argument that that out of necessity, if I could just stop right there on that point. Their other point is that the later was a determination made in when an enforcement action was complaint was lodged, that the county made a determination of that the conditional use permit requirement did not apply. And I'll take up 30 seconds of my other time.
I'll give you a whole minute.
And the problem with that argument is threefold. The first of all, there, or maybe fourfold, there's no written decision by the county that Chapter 27 doesn't apply. So that's one point. There's a sort of a hearsay account. Somebody says somebody else in the department made a decision. The person who made the decision didn't testify, didn't file a declaration. So somebody else says person B made a decision, but says it made it about Chapter 26, not about 27. And finally, if you treat the email that was sent to the community as the notice, this lawsuit was filed within 21 days of that. I'll stop there and reserve the rest of your minutes. Thank you.
Thank you, Your Honor. May it please the Court. Andrew Kinsler on behalf of Robert Van Fant and Melanie Bishop. The county has allowed me 7 minutes, and I'm reserving 3 minutes for the county. So
You walk away whenever you want to walk away.
We will show, Your Honors, that the ham radio antenna was exempt from regulation under the zoning code. And whether or not it was exempt, King County determined that it was exempt in granting the building permit, which then started the 21-day LUPA challenge time in July of 2015. So if, in fact, King County was wrong that the antenna was exempt, there has not been a timely challenge. Now, I have provided the court, I hope you have there, about 4 pages of documents that I'd like to go through, starting with the King County Code. And we start with 21A26030. This is in the zoning ordinance, 21A being the zoning title. And this is for communications facilities. 21A26 covers all communications facilities, minor, major, whatever. Any communication facility is covered under 21A26. I'm going to start with the applicability section because I think this is the easiest way to look at it. It says, the standards and process requirements of this chapter, 21A26, supersede all other review process, setback, or landscape requirements of this title. So 21A26030 says that 21A26 supersedes all other requirements of the zoning code. It then goes on to say, all communication facilities that are not exempt under 020 above, and I'll get to that, all communication facilities, minor or major, any of them, that are not exempt, shall comply with this chapter as follows, and then you go down to D, and it says, new minor communication facilities that are not exempt, right, because you only get to D, those that are not exempt shall comply as follows.
So are you saying that this is not a minor communication
facility? No, well, it is an exempt minor communications facility. I think we could concede that it's a communication facility. The question is it exempt from 21A27? And so it says, new minor communication facilities shall comply with the standards of this chapter and 21A27. In cases of conflict, 27 applies, but only those that are not exempt go through that process. There is no way into 21A27 separate from this process. So 21A27 applies to a non-exempt new minor communication facility. And, of course,
21A26020, the first sentence says, and you've got it here, the following are exempt from the provisions of this chapter. It doesn't say from 21-27.
Right, but the only way you get into 21-27 is through 21A26030D. That's how you get. Those are the minor communication facilities that are regulated by 21A27. There is no applicability section. There is no other entry section provision in 21A27. So there's this broad exemption. Their problem is really with the legislature, with a King County Council, not with my client, because it's the legislation that exempts ham radio, and that's what they're really complaining about. Now, even if you determine that 21A27 applies, and that well, there should have...
Let me stop you there. What is it that makes ham radio stations and citizen band stations not exempt under 020?
It makes them exempt.
Okay, it does make them exempt. So that's what I thought.
Yeah, I'm sorry, maybe I misspoke.
So why, if they're exempt...
They're exempt?
I'm looking at the second sentence of applicability in 030.
Yes.
All communication facilities that are not exempt,
right,
shall comply.
All communications facilities that are not exempt shall comply with...
So if this doesn't apply, then this does not apply to ham radio stations and citizen band stations, right?
Right. All communications that are not exempt shall comply with this chapter, okay, as follows, and that's what allows for the application of 21A27 to non-exempt communication facilities. We have an exempt communication facility, so we never get to 21A27. Okay. That's how it works.
I think we were just ships passing in the night there for
okay.
a second with,
sure.
with the words that were used. Okay.
Well, I may have misspoke. So then we get to the point that King County looked at this, and the next two pages in the handout that I've given you are in May of 2015, 2 months before the permit was issued. King County looked at zoning, and so page 168, zoning, and they said exempt. And then the next page tells you what King County did. And I highlighted, exempt from the wireless, that's the communications provisions, exempt from the wireless provisions pursuant to 21A26020G. So King County determined there was an exemption from the conditional use permit process that they're asking for this tower, for this antenna, and issued the building permit. The argument they've made is that the building permit didn't have anything to do with this exemption, but it did. That finding was made. And the next page, if you look
at... Well, except that whether or not it was exempt, they would have had to have a building permit. They couldn't erect the tower without a permit.
Right.
And they're just going one step further and say you need both the building permit and the conditional use permit. But
they're saying that.
Right.
And the county determined no. And 21A50030, which is the next document that I provided you, says no building permit in conflict with the zoning code shall be issued. So the building permit was issued not requiring a conditional use permit, and therefore that building permit was a land use decision that allowed for the construction of the antenna. And there was 21 days from the issuance of the building permit or the publication of the building permit, which was by July 31 of 15. They had 21 days to challenge, which they didn't do. And finally, they were notified. The next document that I've provided you, page 436, shows that code enforcement and the pages that follow, 436 through 440, I only gave you 436, show that code enforcement looked at this, determined that it was properly permitted under all permitting requirements, including zoning, and closed the code enforcement proceedings. Jeanette Kofsky is copied on that. A written decision was sent to her closing the code enforcement. She had 21 days, if that gave her a new 21-day limit, which I don't think it did, but even if it did, didn't meet that one either. The complaint wasn't filed until February 22nd, more than 21 days after that decision was communicated to her.
But is it your position then that this court could conclude that the conclusion that there was no violation is a land use decision? In other words, this is an email.
No.
We're not going to file that.
I don't think that's.
How does that square with what is a land use
decision? I don't think that's a land use decision. The land use decision is the building permit, and that is the land use decision.
Good morning. May it please the court. Gina Tim, I'm appearing on behalf of King County. I just, in the brief time that I have, wanted to dispel the idea that the building permit represents only a determination about the structural integrity of the antenna tower in this case. As already discussed by counsel for Mr. Fanfant, it also included a consideration about the zoning code requirements as he already discussed in terms of the code that they referenced in the building permit. A way to illustrate this example would be if Mr. Fanfan, instead of applying for the radio tower, he had applied for a building permit to build a garage on his property with the same zoning and wanted to operate a car repair shop out of that garage. Now, he could have provided plans for the most safest, most structurally sound garage out there, but because you cannot operate a garage in that zone, the building the permitting department would have told him you cannot this permit cannot be approved, and in that way they would have taken into account the zoning code just as they did with the radio tower antenna permit. The other point I want to make is that, as has been referenced a number of times, this is a conditional use. It is not a use that is prohibited outright, which are the cases that appellants cite to support the idea that this is a nuisance per se. Because it's a conditional, it is a permitted use. It may require a permit, but it is an allowed use in that zone with a permit, even if you get to the conclusion that it is. Thank you.
Thank you, Your Honor. We're not supposed to construe ordinances so that they result in absurd conclusions. If these towers are exempt from both 26 and 27, literally the sky's the limit. Mr. Fanfan could build a 300-foot tower. He could build something that would show up in the Dubai skyline in this single-family neighborhood, if he needed it to echo his signals around the world as he does. I mean, you cannot construe this to in that manner, and the code doesn't require it. I mean, the explicit language of the code doesn't require it. In 030D, it says new modified minor communication facilities shall comply with the standards of this chapter and Chapter 27. And I would also point out, actually, as I was reading this, it's funny. You know, you look at things 100 times, and these 101st time, you see one more thing in it. The exemption for licensed amateur ham radio stations, not the tower, not the antenna, the station. So, in other words, if you've got access to an antenna and tower, you can use your station in a single-family neighborhood. That's different than saying you can build a tower of whatever height. And when you know, one other clue to what's going on, if you look at the exemptions, look at all the other exemptions here. They are minor facilities, handheld devices, or they're for emergencies or temporary. What sense would it make to, you know, among this list of exemptions of minor facilities and temporary facilities, to all of a sudden allow towers of unlimited height in a single-family zone? It doesn't make sense. Council says 21A26 is the way into Chapter 27, and that's not true. There's nothing entitled in Chapter 27 that says you get here only if you've passed through 26 first. 27 is complete on its face, and it talks about it describes a process that has to be used for minor communication facilities. You don't have to walk through Chapter 26 in order to get to 27. The community in this case, because Mr. Fanfan did not go through the CUP process, they did not get notice. They were never able to be heard by the county. They've showed up today because now this is out in the open, literally and figuratively. And we ask you to reverse the Superior Court decision. And if you read his decision, he did so reluctantly. He felt he was constrained by the law. We ask you to reverse and give my clients their day in court. Thank you.
Thank you. Buchan and Sammamish.